Hello, this is Augustus and Tony Corbett, and you're listening to the Marriage Minutes Podcast,
where we use biblical principles to enhance marriages and eliminate divorces. For the next 30 minutes, get ready for lots of laughing, learning, and loving.
Hello, and welcome to the Marriage Minutes Podcast with Augustus and Tony Corbett. And I do have my lovely wife with me today, Tony Corbett. How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I am always doing well when you're sitting beside me and we're together.
Oh, how wonderful.
So yes. It's always a great day when that happens.
Always.
People may think that we're just saying that, but we're literally together 24/7.
That's what I was going to say. We're always together. Yeah.
And that's because that's the way I like it. And I presume that's the way you like it.
That's the way I like it.
All right.
So we're on one accord.
We're on one accord. Praise God. So we're going to go back and do something or share something from the past. So I think it was 2018. We celebrated our 30th year wedding anniversary. This past May 14th was our 34th. But what stands out about that 30th wedding year anniversary was we did something really simple to start that day out. We went to the Arboretum in Dallas, and we decided to sit down out there in that beautiful area and share some lessons that we have learned at that time after 30 years of marriage.
Yes, and it was so beautiful. Like you said, the flowers were just gorgeous. The temperature was nice, a nice sunny day in Dallas. And yeah, we just decided, well, what have we learned after being married 30 years? And we came up with, I believe, about 10 things.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what we want to share with you all today.
And we did record it. So we're going to share with you the audio today. So we hope you get something from this. 30 years of marriage, you learn some things, right?
Definitely. I mean, yes, a lot of takeaways. So, and we just reduced them to 10.
That's right. And so we recorded it and we're going to share it with you. We hope you enjoy it.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you all? This is Pastor Corbett, Pastor Tony, my lovely wife. And as you all have seen, because we have posted it multiple times on Facebook, today is our 30th year wedding anniversary. 30 years ago, May the 14th at about 2:50.
Right. Should have been 2:00. We were running late.
So at about 2:50 p.m., this beautiful, lovely lady, and honest to God, I'm not saying this just to be saying this, just to get some points, but she is more beautiful today. And she was, I don't know how that's possible, but she's more beautiful today than she was even then. And she was very beautiful then. So she has just kept her sexy all these years.
Yes.
Good job on that.
Yes.
I picked up a few pounds.
Like 100.
I've grayed a little bit.
Like 100 pounds.
100 pounds. But well, that's your fault.
He's still
that's
handsome.
That's that good cooking.
Handsome.
Thank you. That's that good cooking you were doing. That good loving that you were putting down on me. But we've learned some things over 30 years.
Yes, we have. And we just want to share with you all what we have learned, because we know it's so important for marriages to last, if at all possible.
Absolutely. Some folks, unfortunately, do suffer while the unfortunate experience of divorce. And I thank God that we have not. We're believing God by his grace that we will not.
Yes.
Look, some people get around the 30-year mark, and for whatever reason, they decide they don't want to be married anymore.
30, so. 35. I've heard of a couple 35 years, and the husband just walked out after 35 years of marriage. So nothing is a guarantee, but right. We just want to share with you all what we have learned, and maybe it can be a help to someone out there today.
Well, before we get started, I want to read a couple of verses of scripture. If I can get this phone to work, a couple of verses of scripture before we start, from Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. I believe these two verses form the foundation of marriage. And they say, actually, I'm going to go back to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, there's a lot of preaching and teaching I could do right here with these verses, but I won't. If you get a thought, please share it, Tony. But we could stay camped right here and just teach for weeks.
Right.
And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. This right here, as Adam said, is bone of my bones. And forgive me if I start crying, okay? I'm a big crybaby. I'll let you in on that secret. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, a man with a womb, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wow.
Wow. That's what I say. Wow.
So those verses form the foundation of a healthy marriage. So after 30 years, and I'm going to tell you, there have been ups and downs. There have been good, there's been bad. But the good and the ups substantially
outweigh
the bad.
Yes.
Amen.
We concur.
So no marriage is perfect. No marriage. I heard one couple, one older couple who had been married about 50 years say that they had never had an argument. I found it hard to believe.
I didn't believe it.
I mean, wow. Never had an argument in 50 years. You remember that, right?
Mm-hmm, I remember.
So that can be done, but that is not our testimony.
Right, it's not ours.
We have had, and by the way, we're outside, pollen is high, and so forth. So if we scratch our nose or sneeze or something, please forgive us, okay? But in any event, we have had ups and downs, and we've learned a lot, and I think that we have a lot to share with folks who are just getting married, or folks who may be having some issues in their marriage. And incidentally, I also, in addition to being a pastor, I'm also an attorney. And I've seen folks go through divorce. I've represented folks in divorce. So I've learned some things just from my work as a lawyer about why marriages end up in divorce.
Right.
So let us share with you the 10 things that we've learned. Please feel free to comment and add things that you think that we should have said that we forgot.
And these are just 10. There are so many more, but these are 10 that we just thought we would share with you all this morning.
So I'll let my sweetheart here kind of lead the way on this.
Well, the first thing that we have learned in order to stay married, remain married. You know, everybody's getting married, so you can get married, but the key is remaining happily married. And I would say we both agreed to keep God first.
Yes.
That has got to be the foundation. Christ has to be the foundation. And not just for one spouse, but both spouses would have to have that attitude. Well, what does Christ say in this situation that we may be dealing with, for this challenge that we may be going through? What does the word say? Because if that's your foundation, then the word has answers to all problems.
Right.
You know, so then if the word has the answer, we go to the word, and then we can overcome that particular problem.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said it that way, because keeping God first can be so broad.
Right.
But what you went on to say, and for us that means that the word of God is the final say. She has her opinion. I have my opinion. But
yep.
God has the final say.
Yes.
Okay. I'm the head of the family. She's the neck of the family, so she turns the head the way she wants the head to go. But God is the head of me and of the family. So my word is not final. God's word is final. Okay, so if we have a dispute or disagreement about something, you know, we go to the word of God. If, for example, what to do with finances? God tells us what to do with finances.
He sure does. And if we keep him first and do what the word says, then we're going to be so much better off as a couple if we continue to just keep his word first in our lives.
Now, we're going to be transparent as we talk about these 10 things. And because we're not sitting here saying we did all these things perfectly over the years. Anyway. We've not. We've messed up many times. And guess what? A lot of those mess ups with me. For some reason, us, you know, guys, we mature a lot later in life than the women for some reason. I don't know what it is. So most of the headaches that we've had in our marriage and family, it was because of me.
Well, you said it.
I mean, it's true. It's true anyhow. I'm just being honest about it, you know? And so we haven't done these things perfectly. So we haven't always kept God first. We've tried very hard. I mean, those of you who know us, you know that we've tried over our marriage to keep the Lord first. And I would say what? For the most part, maybe we have.
Yeah, I think for the most part, because if we get off trail, we come back, you know, and that's the main thing. Just always come back. If you fall off the trail, come back and get back on.
So God first is the very first lesson that we've learned about. After 30 years of marriage, keep God first.
Amen. Yes. And the second is open communication. And let me just say this. I want to say, when I first met Augustus, the thing that really, he was handsome. Now, I have to admit that I found him attractive.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I had mentioned to the Lord that I really didn't want a church boy. Well, he answered that prayer.
Definitely not.
But beyond that, Augustus really was open in his communication with me. He told me so much stuff, you know, about his past, you know, his struggles, his challenges, his mistakes. He was very forthcoming. Let me just put it like that. So he did not want anyone coming to me telling me something about him that he had not already shared with me. And that was so attractive to me. You know, I really liked that. I appreciated that. So open communication, open and honest communication, no secrets, open and honest communication, I think, is key. And some people don't know how to communicate, you know. So if you don't learn, you know, buy some books, go to some seminars, go to marriage counseling, amen, marriage therapy, whatever you need to do so that you too can learn how to communicate to one another, to keep that flow of communication going on everything, on every topic. You know, you've got to communicate. So that's my.
Yeah. And that's so important. And she's right. She gotten saved very early in life.
Yes, I was a church girl. Remember, I was a church girl.
Right, I wasn't. I mean, I got out there early in my life. And so I did a whole lot of things that I were not proud of. And I didn't want anyone being able to come to her and say, did you hear this about him?
Yeah.
Did you know he did that? No, that was not going to happen. So I told her everything.
And I mean everything.
Everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes. I'm okay. Like, you could have kept that.
I said, no, I ain't giving the devil no place to come and say anything that you haven't known. You're going to go into this with your wise eyes, with your eyes wide open, okay? And I've practiced that throughout our marriage.
That's what I was going to say. And it wasn't just prior to our marriage, but since we've been married, probably he communicates even more so than me. You know, he's always been very open. So he's forced me to communicate my thoughts since we've been together.
Absolutely. So open communication. Some people just don't know how to do it. Right. And they don't know the importance of it. You know, women tend to be, you know, unlike my wife sometimes, my wife, for some reason, had grown accustomed to kind of holding things in.
Right.
You know, not coming out with it, you know.
Right.
And we'd have to, you know, there were those times where I would just have to prod, you know, come on, let's talk about it. Yeah, just pull it out. Come on, tell me. Come on, tell me. Just drop it on me. Let me know how big a knucklehead I've been. I can handle it. Tell me. And when it flowed, it came like a rushing mighty wind. So, yeah, open communication is so very important. It lets what's in you out, and then you're just going to feel better.
Right. And that's what he would always say. If anyone knows Augustus, if it's on his heart, it's going to come up and come out, because he's like, I can't keep all this.
Right.
It's on me, and I'm going to let you know. You're going to know exactly where I stand in my position. And he has not diverted from that after 30 years of me being with him.
Absolutely. So that's the second thing. God first, open communication second.
The third thing is good sex. Woo, woo.
Woo, woo.
Now, you probably want to talk about that.
Well, it's critical. The fellas know it is critical. Good sex is critical. I'm going to be honest with you. When we've had hard times in the past, what would get us through it sometimes is, hey, let's just go have sex. let's just go and make love. And my God, that would help. I'm telling you, that would just pull us through some things.
Right.
Okay. Really. Right. Emotionally, it just would just, you know, if it was something stressful that I was dealing with, well, making love to my wife would enable me to, I guess, release that stress. Okay. And take my mind off what's going on. And then seem like everything just going to be a little bit better after we had finished making love.
Right. That's right. And not just sex, but good sex. And women, I would say to you, if you want to keep your man home, of course, you know, he's supposed to stay home. But I'm just telling you, let's be honest. There are so many men who are going out on their wives, Christian men.
Right.
We, you know, we're a Christian couple who have cheated on their wives. And I'm just, my attitude was, well, if Augustus cheats on me, it's not going to be because I didn't do what I needed to do to give him good sex.
Ooh.
I went into the marriage with that. You remember we had that conversation?
Absolutely.
So if he's going to be a fool and a knucklehead and go outside, he won't come back to say, well, Tony this and Tony that.
Exactly.
So I have given him good sex. In fact, he says it's the best sex he's ever had.
It's the best in all my life. This woman makes a brother want to get home fast. Where are you headed? I'm going home, man. I'm going home. Why are you going? What, man, Hank? No. Y'all can't do nothing for me that this woman right here, praise God, does. Okay? So I'm just, you know, so yes, good sex is so very, very, very important.
Yeah.
And let's not be deep about that. Christian folks, let's be real, you know. And not only that, but look, she has kept herself gorgeous over the years. Okay, that's been very important. Men are sight motivated.
Yes,
we get motivated based on what we see. So when I'm looking at her, when we get ready to go to bed tonight, and she puts on something nice, I can't keep my hands off of her. Okay, and so wives and husbands, I need to do better. Do everything you can to keep your sexy. Okay. Do everything you can to keep your six pack or whatever you had when you married. Now I got to do better.
Now yes.
He I got to do better. But I don't
pray for him.
Pray for me. Okay. But I don't know if you all is as sight motivated as we are.
Probably not.
Maybe not.
You know, we have that, we want that emotion and that affection, I think, more right. So than just being sight motivated.
Yeah.
And let me just say to the women, so that means
Going to the gym.
Right, going to the gym. And not, you have to balance your eating, you know. We eat out a lot as a couple. But every time we eat out, I cannot eat a lot. I cannot eat as much as Augustus. You know, sometimes I may just get a bowl of soup or a salad. Because I tell him, if I eat like you, I'll be big as a house, you know. So
then we have a problem.
And then there will be some issues. So women, practically, I'm not saying diet, but you got to be mindful and know your body and have some parameters as to how you can keep yourself up since you are married.
Absolutely. All right. Okay. Good sex.
Good sex. Number four, money management. And let's just say, because from what they tell us, two of the most reasons couples divorce would be financial, right?
Mm-hmm.
And another one.
Infidelity,
right. And finances. So we just went over having good sex. Now, the fourth one is money management.
Yes. I mean, I've done some divorces in my practice, like I said. And most of the time, it does bottom out to those two things. Okay. Infidelity, as well as mismanagement of finances. Okay. So most of the time when I'm helping a client go through divorce, those a lot of times are one of the two issues, if not both. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So money management is very, very, very important in a marriage.
Yes. And agree who should handle the money, how you all develop a system, you know, how many accounts you're going to have, how you're going to share the money and paying bills and all of that. Talk about that, you know, and I would say talk about it even before you say I do. A lot of these things really you should talk about in premarital counseling would be my opinion. Okay.
Very, very good point. All of these things, in my opinion, should be discussed in premarital counseling before you get married. We tell folks that we marry, they must go through pre-counseling before I will marry them. I mean, I'm not going to do that. Most of the times I require at least about 6 months of premarital counseling. And we want to facilitate conversations with the couples about money, about infidelity, about sex, about communication,
mm-hmm.
about children, and a host of other issues. Okay. So it is very, very, very important. And I tell you one other thing with respect to money management, the wife is oftentimes especially needful of knowing that the money is right. Is that true?
Right. That's very true. Yeah. Yes.
Talk about that.
And I think because the wives, we were built to be all worried up about money. You know, we want to make sure that we got a roof over our heads, that we got electricity, you know, all of that. So it's incumbent upon the man, the husband, to make sure that he's providing and that the finances are in order so that woman feels secure. We want security.
Sure.
So please make sure that you all get this money together and be on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to the issue of good sex, you know, if the money is funny, the honey ain't going to be dripping like it should be. I mean, the very best lovemaking and sex that we have is when she is fully engaged, okay, her mind, her body, her soul, and everything else. And that can happen more freely if I've done my job,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
If I've done my job,
yeah.
Creating the mood. And creating the mood includes having the bills paid. I mean, she ain't be able to do a whole lot, and she's worried right. about what the lights may go out right in the middle of what we're doing.
Right. That's exactly right.
Is that true?
That's true.
So
there's going to be some problems.
Going to be some problems, and we'll know. I'll know you're not really into this. Yeah, because I'm concerned about the fact we need to pay the light bill.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. So yes, all of that is all connected. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So have we said enough about that?
Thanks.
Money
so.
Management.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Number five: forgive quickly.
Wow.
And I remember when we, the day of our marriage, Bishop Otis Lockett. He assisted Elder Turner in marrying us. And that was one of his advices to us, was to make sure you forgive quickly.
I had forgotten all about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Yes, he mentioned that, because you're bringing two lives together. I'm going to do something that offends him. He's going to do something to offend me. But because we are both Christians, we know the Bible says to forgive. So we have to do it quickly. And we also know the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yes.
So quickly means by the end of the day, before you go to bed, make sure that you have forgiven each other for whatever offenses have taken place during the day.
Yes. In fact, Ephesians, if I can find it quickly, Ephesians chapter 4. And while I find it, thank you so much for, how do we get to the Bible here, right here. Thank you so much for bringing up Bishop Otis Lockett, who taught me much of what I'm sharing right now.
Yes.
He was my pastor when I received Christ. And
in fact, we met at Evangel Fellowship where Bishop Lockett, the church he founded, we met there. And that's how we became affiliated with one another.
Yes, because she was a member of my pastor's brother-in-law's church, Elder Emmett Turner. And I was a member there at Evangel. And you all came on a Sunday night. I'll never forget it. They came on a Sunday night. Elder Turner would always preach our pastor's anniversary the last night. So he brought his church that last night. And they were getting ready to go up to sing on the choir. I remember exactly, that was the first time I ever saw her. I remember exactly how she looked. I remember what she had on. She had on this beige two-piece skirt suit. She walked up to her, and a couple other people walked up to the choir stand to sing a song, and they were being bashful and shy and all of that.
Shame-faced, because we were small.
Yeah, they come to our bigger church. But I was love struck from that moment, and had a good friend of mine, Elder Teddy Wilson.
A mutual friend.
That's right. A good friend of yours. You knew him before I knew him. In fact, right. I said, Teddy, who is that? I really want. He said, Doc, you want to meet her? Please. And so he introduced us. And the very first conversation we had, believe it or not, I asked her to marry me. Very first conversation, and she said no.
I thought he was crazy. Yes, you are crazy.
She thought I was trying to play her for the fool.
Right.
But I kept at it, and within a year, she and I married May 14th, 1988 at 2:50 p.m. But I wanted to read this verse or two of scripture with that has to do with forgiving quickly. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30 and 31, it says, in fact, we read this yesterday at church. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this is the verse that I want you to hear. And be ye kind one to another. Husband and wives, be kind one to another. Be tenderhearted one to another.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I think if you follow that verse right there, you're going to have just a sweetness in your mouth.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's the way you put God first. You mm-hmm. just do the Bible.
Just do the word. Mm-hmm. Excellent point.
Yeah.
So I wanted to read that verse. Now we'll get back to the list.
And number six, one of our tips is to have similar values.
Similar values.
Right.
Very good.
Now, I'm real big on that because I wanted someone who, I love going to church. I enjoy church. And I wanted someone who shared that value with me. I value education. Augusta shared that value with me. You know, when I met him, he was still in college at A&T. But thank God, hallelujah. Glory to God. He graduated.
With your help and push.
And he went on.
She told me it's time to get up out of here now.
You got to get up on out of school. And he did exactly that. Amen. I mean, he was taking 18 hours a semester and going to school night and day, and working, you know, doing all of that to graduate within the first year of our marriage.
Right.
So we value education. Then he went on eventually to law school. But we wanted, we value education for our kids as well. So I really appreciated that. And we're out here in the open, so you all hear noise.
Okay, it's going to get noisy, y'all. Just hold on a minute here. Hold on a second. This won't last long. All right.
So we value education. We value raising our kids in the Lord, you know. So I really think if you're out there single and you're wanting to get married, husband or, I mean, man or woman, find someone who values the same things that you value.
Well, that's so important. In fact, before I got married, I made a list of things that I wanted in a wife. I wanted my wife to have come from a good family. I wanted her, just what she just said, to value education, to value raising good children and those kinds of things. And they, when I met her, I was just really almost, I was just thankful to the Lord that when we got to talk and get to know each other, mm-hmm. we shared those same values. So everything the Lord, nearly everything, not everything. I prayed for five things on my list. Four of those, God gave me four. One of them, he didn't because it was stupid. But but those four things had to do with values. And that's so right. So he gave me someone who shared the same values. And ironically, we were amazed at how similar our backgrounds mm-hmm. were. We were from the same part of North Carolina. She's from Rocky Mount. I'm from the Wallace area, which is about an hour and a half apart. We both had been raised, we both had been raised by aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm.
Our birth mothers allowed a sister or a relative to marry us.
To
raise us. So yes, we really had a very, very, very similar upbringing.
Right.
And that helped
mm-hmm.
a great deal.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, moving right along. Number seven, shared vision.
Shared vision. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. It's, you know, if you don't have the same vision, you're going to have a division. You know, the husband's going to be going in one direction, mm-hmm. wife going in another direction. You can't do that. You got to have the same vision with respect to children, or at least similar vision.
Right.
With the same children. I mean, with respect to raising children. With the handling finances, your religion, all of these things, you have to have a similar. You have to be able to look down the road and see the same thing right. for your family.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when you see the same thing, that to me feeds into number eight. You can set goals.
Yes.
Set goals for that vision that you have. If you got a vision of where your family, you want your family to be. Then number eight is set goals. You know, don't go by life, go through life, just letting life happen to you. No, you're intentional. Be intentional about it. Set goals on purpose. Well, this is where we want to be in the next 6 months or in the next year. This is how much money we want to save. Or this is when we want to buy a house. Or if you're planning for kids, we want to have kids at this time. All of that, set goals based upon the vision that you have for your family.
Couldn't say it any better.
And number, let me get back to my little notes. Okay, number nine, much prayer.
Much prayer.
Much prayer.
Okay, so look, prayer is your communication with God. Prayer is your fellowship with God. Prayer is your access to God. So we said God first. We put mm-hmm. him first.
Right.
Well, we're not putting him first if we don't talk to him.
Right.
If we don't fellowship and communicate with him. And then there are some challenges that are going to come your way in marriage. Every marriage has challenges. And prayer is going to be one of those ways that you're going to get through those challenges.
Right.
Because prayer is one way you're going to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the decisions that you have to make, you can't find the solution or the answer in the Bible. Because it requires a more specific solution. And that's when you got to rely on the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's when you got to pray. And when God speaks back to you, he's going to speak to you by the Holy Spirit in your spirit.
And also he will speak to you about yourself. You know, Amen. You know, a lot of times we always can see the wrong in our spouse. But when you go in prayer, God will tell you, OK, this is what you need to do, too. Now, you're not Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect. You know, so when you go into prayer, God is going to share things with you that's going to help your marriage be sustainable. OK, and also I like what I heard Dr. Betty Price. She said, yeah, and when I know I'm right and he's insisting on being wrong, I go to the Lord and say, Lord, now, you know, I'm right. So tell him, you know. So prayer works. Prayer works. If you can't get through to your spouse and seeing a point that you believe is of God, go to God in prayer. And the Holy Spirit always, you know, if you got a spouse that's wanting to do right, he or she will listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And we're not suggesting that you should pray only when you have problems.
Okay? Right. That's true.
Yeah. Much prayer means just having a regular time of prayer that you spend with the Lord on a daily basis. Okay. Fellowship and communing with him. In fact, it is a wonderful thing if you two spend time with God together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
What's the old saying? A family that prays together stays together. Well, there's a lot of truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of truth to that. Yeah. The late Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole used to say, prayer builds intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
The more you pray with your spouse, the more intimate you and her become, because you all are spending time in prayer, in the Word of God. And as you're doing that, God, without you even realizing it, is knitting your hearts together.
Right.
God is providing all for your marriage as you spend that time in prayer.
Right. And we're going to close on this one. Have fun.
Have fun. Have fun. Yes. Have fun.
Enjoy one another.
Yes.
Take a vacation. Take
vacations.
You know, take a break.
Take a break.
You know.
That's what you're doing today, right. Praise God.
Do something recreationally, you know. Look at a game together. Go to a game together.
We do all of that.
Right. We're big sports fans.
Yeah. You know?
So we enjoy going to baseball games. We enjoy going to the movies. We enjoy watching games on television. You know,
especially the Duke and UNC game, where Duke has been the victor more than UNC. I'm a Duke fan. Please. She's a Carolina fan.
Please.
I don't know how those two people can be married, but but we manage it.
So have fun. You know, with me being a big sports fan, I'm a big Seahawks fan, okay? And Pete Carroll says to his team, if we're not having fun, then I'm doing something wrong. So that's our attitude. We got to enjoy one another, and we've got to have fun. If we're not having fun in this marriage, then something is wrong.
Exactly. So
okay? We got to be able to laugh together, you know, and just kick back and have a good time and enjoy one another. So have fun.
I remember we used to, when we were living in Wallace, anywhere in North Carolina, we would. And by the way, it doesn't take a lot of money to have fun if you're in between blessings. We used to take $20, mm-hmm, and load the kids up and take them down to the beach.
Right.
Get some bologna, mayonnaise, light bread, and some Pepsis, and sit right out there on that beach for $20. I put $5 gas in the tank. Get what I just said and sit out there all day and just enjoy one another at the beach. So it doesn't take a lot of money to do this.
Right.
You know, we're beyond the $20 days, thank God.
Right. Amen.
but it doesn't take a lot of money to have fun with each other.
Amen.
You know, just a walk in the park,
mm-hmm,
is a way to have fun.
That's right.
So don't sit and think, well, we can't take vacations. You don't need to spend a whole lot of money. Now, we are looking forward to a trip that we're planning for the end part of this year. We're going to be going to Cuba.
Right.
With some of the other family, with my kids and my sister, Sawara, and some other folks. So, yeah, we try to have as much fun as possible.
Well, yeah, we do. And he's now having fun away from the house, because his fun used to always have to be real close to home.
Yeah.
But thank God.
Big time homebody.
He's a homebody. And we would have fun just locally, but now he is traveling more.
Yes.
So I'm thankful for that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, those are 10, just 10 of the things that we've learned over the years, over 30 years of marriage.
And let me just recap. God first, keep God first, open communication, good sex, money management, forgive quickly, have similar values, have a shared vision, set goals, much prayer, and have fun.
So God bless you all.
God bless you.
I hope you got something from this. Bye.
Bye.
All right, there you have it. We shared with you some lessons that we learned at the 30th year mark. And how do you think that went?
I thought it went very well. I hope it was beneficial to the listeners. But yeah, and I'm just so happy that now we have just celebrated 34 years. So whatever we learned, we'll continue to learn, and it's working. So I'm glad about that.
So we may do some lessons that we've learned after 34 years of marriage. If so, we will share that with the podcast. But yes, I hope you all really enjoyed that and continue to keep coming back. Some future plans that we have for the podcast, the Marriage Minutes podcast, we're going to create a YouTube channel so that we can actually do some video in addition to the audio. So that's coming. We're just trying to get the set figured out and all of that. But that is coming. In the meantime, we pray that you are enjoying the Marriage Minutes podcast, because remember, our goal is to enhance marriages and eliminate divorces.
And please share, like, and comment.
That's right. And soon subscribe.
And soon subscribe.
All right. Very good. You all have a good one. God bless you all.
God bless you.